with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical, where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
It's a Friday. Good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard. It is a Friday, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, John. Chilly. The fall is coming.
Yeah, you've got your leather bomber jacket out here today.
I'm going to a taxi garage to talk about incenting taxi cab drivers to use hybrids, which is in everybody's interest. Their interest because they spend less on gas in the city, and you're in my interest because they pollute less.
Don't you think it would make maybe some sense, again, sort of broadening that that point? That
my outfit, or
the taxi cabs. Tax breaks for those sort of things would be an incentive.
Well, there's a variety of different things. You can find ways to incent people to do things. The first thing is education. If it's just in their own interest, maybe you can explain that to them and they'll just do it without anything. Number two, keep in mind, you can't incent everybody to do everything with tax breaks. Somebody's got to pay the bills. And somebody worked me over the other day about taxes, and I said, look, I don't like taxes any more than anybody else, but surprise, surprise, cops want to get paid, teachers want to get paid, you want to get paid, I want to get paid my dollar a year. Got to come from somebody.
Boy, it is the crunch time, isn't it, for everybody, not only in government, but in the business sector, in the private sector, and just personally.
We are having a worldwide recession. Somebody will say, oh, technically it's not a recession in some parts of the world, and it is in others. But, you know, if you've lost your job, it's a depression. If your friend lost a job, it's a recession. And you have lots of, if you still have yours, you still have lots of friends, no matter what, who have had some big problems. I think the banking system is somewhat stabilized, but there's a crisis of confidence. This week, you know, every time I go by every store, I look inside to see if there's people inside. I start counting empty stores and see. I was out in the Rockaways or Memorial the other day in the morning for Flight 587. That was that airliner going to the Dominican Republic, killed 260 people, I think. There were a lot of empty stores. Madison Avenue, the upper end, the place that's hurting the most is the high-end stores. People aren't spending money. If you take a look at, you know, the Macy's and Bloomingdale's and Saks, their high-end stuff, they're having real problems, whereas Target and Walmart are doing somewhat better. Everybody gets affected, but you know, you still
McDonald's threw a profit when the rest of them weren't. So again, it's the low end.
Every restaurant I walk into, I always talk to the owner. How's it going? And they used to always say spectacular, and then they said great, and then they said okay. And now you get an okay or not good.
I think we're at a watershed moment for a lot of reasons. But I think from a political standpoint, I'd like your opinion about this, whether it's the legislature in Albany or the city council or yourself or whatever political entity, that the way we govern and budget things will be different for a long time, don't you think?
Well, in down markets, so when there's not a lot of money, you do things differently than you do in good times. In good times, it is very hard to get legislators not to spend money, or in all fairness to them, their constituents, to not demand that they spend money. And everybody says the downtimes will not arrive, or they say that God will provide. I think there's a little bit of, at city levels, you hope the state bails you out. At state levels, you hope the federal government bails you out. And each of those, starting from the other direction, one of the ways that they solve their budget problems is to push the expenses down the chain. So the federal government stops subsidizing something, or the state stops subsidizing something. And in the end, it is the cities that make the real decisions and spend the money. Most money is spent in government at the city level. It may come from the state.
It's allocated above.
It's allocated above, but it's at the city level where you have to distribute. You write the checks. You hire the people. You have to manage it and that sort of thing. And you do different things in tougher times. There was one of the not well thought out comments I saw on the paper today. People want to say you're spending too much money in the Department of Education to measure whether or not the kids are learning.
I have that on my list here.
And whether or not teachers are doing a good job. This is the time we should up the amount of money. We cannot afford to waste any money. And the small amount of money to measure gets enormous returns. I'm going to go down to Washington on Monday to introduce Randy Weingarten. It's interesting.
Another one I've got on here.
She is giving a speech in the National Press Club in Washington. Called me and asked me would I come and introduce her. And, you know, I've been critical of teachers' unions across the country, but I at the same time, I always say, for all of the craziness, mishigas, that's a Gaelic word, that you see in the paper about battles between me and Randy and Joel and whatever, this is a city that's made a lot of progress, and the union's made a lot of progress for its members. Its members have a 43% increase in compensation over the last 7 years, and the city now has performance pay, which helps. It has teachers working more hours. It has teachers working more days. A lot of the work rules have been changed. So you can do things together, and unions aren't the be-all and end-all for anybody, but they're not the villain either. I've always blamed governments that give raises, which they should. I'm a big proponent of paying our workforce more, even if it means having a smaller workforce. But in return, you also want to get something that you need. That's what a bargain, that's what a negotiation should be. The public, if they're going to reach in their pockets and pay more, they should get more for it. And you can have a win-win deal. These things don't have to be one side wins or neither side wins, which is what it turns out sometimes.
What was your reaction? I'm sure you read the story in the front page of the New York Times about the Washington, D.C. schools chancellor, Michelle Reeves' idea about paying teachers with a significant salary increase, upwards of $40,000 additional, to give up tenure.
You know, I know Michelle Rhee. She's very smart, very aggressive, and cares about public education as much as anybody you'll ever meet. I don't want to get involved in their battles down there. They have a school system that's been dysfunctional. She really has come in, and Adrian Fenty, the mayor of Washington, has supported her, which is not easy for him to do. But, you know, his job is to support her. My job is to support Joel Klein. And you bring in good people, and then you have them try to change the system. Hopefully, they will come to an agreement which dramatically improves the quality of education in Washington, D.C. In the end, if you take a look at all of the academic studies, it's like in real estate. I've said this before. There are three things that matter in real estate. You know what they are?
Location. Location and location.
Okay. In education, it's teacher quality, teacher quality, teacher quality. It'd be nice to have great buildings and labs and sports facilities and smaller class size and everything, but every legitimate academic study shows the biggest determinant in how good an education a kid gets is the quality of the teacher standing at the front of the room. And quality teachers, even if they have lots of kids, find ways to spend a little bit of time with each one. I asked my mother. My recollection was I had about 40 kids in my classes in elementary school.
Yeah, I remember them to be larger than classes.
Much today, the average New York City is something like 23. There are some places where it's much more, some places where it's much less. And it's a little bit deceiving. If you take the number of students and divide the number of teachers into it, you'd find that the average class size is 13. It's not, because an awful lot of special ed kids get a teacher for each kid. Just the way the law works, whether it's a good allocation or not. It, you know, you have to have a lot of sympathy for special need kids, and that's one of the approaches that we have. But I hope Michelle Rhee really manages to make big changes down there. Tenure is a concept that was put in for college educators, college teachers who were doing research so that they could say controversial things and not get fired. The argument for it on the local level is that local school boards would fire teachers for saying controversial things, although at high school, junior high school, and elementary school level, they're teaching pretty standard stuff. But creationism, for example, is a very controversial thing in parts
very.
Of this company.
In fact, more so, spreading.
Right, and there's, you know, should you have this book, Johnny Has Two Mothers, or whatever, there's a couple of books like that that have been very controversial across the country. Nevertheless, most of our employees don't have tenure, you don't have tenure, and you have the same issues, you want to speak up, and you don't have tenure in your business here.
You sure don't.
I mean,
as I've demonstrated.
I was going to say, as you've demonstrated. So, you know, you got to be responsible for what you say and learn to live with it. And if you want to say something, get you fired, that's up to you. But anyways, I think there's probably a lot of very good teachers in the Washington, D.C. school system. And it sounds to me like this would be a great deal for them. They could get a lot more money. And most teachers don't depend on tenure to keep their jobs. They depend on doing a good job and educating kids, like most people.
Like most people. Mr. Mayor, hang tight. We'll get right back to you. Let me take my first break here. And don't forget that 24 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is in Studio 4. Here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
What goes on in studios 1, 2, and 3?
I don't even know why they happen, to be honest with you.
I will say two people last night when I was at Billy Elliot.
How'd you like it?
It was a great show. Great show. It's Elton John's a genius, and the guy that wrote it, I loved the movie. I kept thinking back of
the movie was seven, eight
years ago, so I'm trying to remember. It's slightly different. More of a focus on the big coal miners' strike, which I'm going to go get a book and read and see what really happened. And I have sort of a vague idea, but you know how it all turned out years later if you go back.
Our Broadway reviewer this morning, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Absolutely. No, it was a great show. And it was fun. I had a lot of friends I ran into there that I hadn't seen, some from London, who've come over, and a lot of friends from New York. And so that was fun. Anyways, a couple people coming in or intermission said, oh, I hear you on John Gambling. And I said, well, I'll tell John I found the other listing.
Thank you, sir. thank you for your support, as always. Back to money stuff. New York City, financial world. A lot of noise about bonuses on Wall Street.
Well,
with the bailout.
You know, it's a populist thing to say, I don't want to give any bonuses. But if you are giving money to a company and you ever hope to make that company, there's only one reason to give money to a company, and that's to keep it going. If you think that it's not in the public interest for it to fail, or it's in the public interest to not fail, you want to keep it going. You don't keep it going by driving out all their employees. And we just live in a real world, and the employees of these banks can get jobs elsewhere. As you say, oh, they shouldn't. Well, you know, you want to have more for your family? So do I. So does everybody else. And it's just unrealistic to say that the employees for these companies who work hard shouldn't get compensated at the rate in that industry. Each industry is different. I can't tell you why athletes and starlets and Wall Street executives all get paid a much larger amount of money than radio, I don't know, but I assume radio talk hosts.
That's true. No, you assume
and
directly.
Mayors, I can tell you that one. I know. Why do they get paid more? It just is. And to say they can't get any money. I know it's easy to say, I'm not going to give them money as long as they keep getting paid. But most of them, it's a competitive market.
On the local level here, again, dollars and cents. The city council's making some noise about the property tax rebate
checks.
Well, we
proposed a bunch of things, some of which need city council approval, some of which don't, all of which I care about their input, even if we could do it without them. Some things you will do in the end, because that's your job. Some things you listen, maybe you can learn something, and maybe they have better ideas, or you say, well, you know, I can't do everything, so you decide which ones make more sense. But we will work with the city council over the next period. I think everybody, even in the city council and state legislature and federal government, they all understand we have to change the way we're doing things and do more with less. The proposals that I made still leave us with a $1.3 billion deficit for 2010, the next year, and we have $5 billion deficit staring us in the face down the road, but that's couple of years from now, and we'll deal with that later on. But we are going to, so far, every agency, and in all fairness, every union has been working with us, trying to find ways to do more with less. The unions want to protect the jobs of their current members, and I'm sympathetic to that. But in order to do that, we may have to have fewer of them. If we can downsize by attrition, for them it's a lot less painful than if you do it through layoffs. They're probably not happy about it. They always like to have more members, but they would understand. And the only ways you're going to protect everybody's jobs is if they do more. Public's got to get value for its money. The public doesn't want to pay more taxes. Sadly, we all know we probably are going to have to, at a federal, state, and city level, they don't have any money, and it's got to come from someplace.
I have read, and I don't want to pin you down to a number because that's a silly thing to try and do, but I've heard a number of 29,000 for the police force. Is there going to be contraction?
We are going
in those sort of area numbers?
Well, there is a connection between the size of the police force and your ability to fight crime. If you went down to 5 cops for the whole city, 1 for each borough, obviously. So at the extremes, that is true. At the current level, Police Commissioner Kelly, who is far and away the best police commissioner I think the city's ever had, maybe the best any city's ever had, his job is to keep us safe, keep bringing crime down. When he took the job, I explained we're going to have some fiscal crisis. He understood it. And we downsized the police department, if you remember, going back to 2002 by 3,000 cops. And Ray and his staff and all the men and women that work in the police department, uniform and non-uniform, they keep bringing crime down. It's come down virtually every single year for 7 years. Murder rates come down. Last year was a record. This year we're 5% higher. It's a few murders. It's a lot of variation each week, so who knows whether we'll set another record. But if not, it would probably be the second safest year we've ever had. And what we're going to do is not hire one class of police officers. That will reduce the headcount by 1,000. Although, keep in mind, it goes up and down, and we will have a police class, assuming the economy doesn't fall totally apart, in the middle of the next year. Right. So, Ray's going to have to do more with less, and he understands that. So's every other commissioner. But we're still going to keep our streets safe. We're still going to keep our streets clean. Our sanitation department, I'll give you a good example. We have suspended leaf collections this year. You just put them in the regular garbage rather than have a separate pickup. We can't afford it this year. We got to economize someplace.
How is that transmitted to people, or how do they know that, other than you just saying it?
Everybody listens to your radio show. Everybody, and every reporter is out there right now writing down. John Gambling says, mix your leaves in with whatever. But we did find a ways to recycle electronic stuff with NBC Universal. We've got a joint program with them. We're still trying to do things to help the environment, but things that you can afford to do. And you don't want to walk away in the tough times from infrastructure or from the big programs. New York City, I keep coming back to this, in New York City, life expectancy is higher than the country as a whole. If that isn't the ultimate measure of whether we do a good job, I don't know what is. So we're trying as hard as we can to do it.
I read another number that maybe you've already seen, and that is that the number of people smoking in the United States, the percentage has dropped below 20% for the first time in history.
Yeah, of course, the people would say, oh, that's bad because our tax revenues from cigarette sales are going down. It's something that should put a smile on all our faces. This Green Screens is the name of this campaign I was just talking about with NBC Universal, and they got centers in Manhattan and the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island and Queens. And what's going to happen here is we're transitioning, remember, to digital TV. So a lot of people have old TVs they're going to throw out. And we've got this program, and if you call 311, needless to say, they will tell you about how you go about recycling your electronics. But it's a good example. Doing something right and doing something we can't do the other thing, we can do this.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. Let's take another break here on the half hour. If you've got a question for the mayor, Friday, John Gambling Show, 20 now before 9. We'll get to you on the phones, 800-321-0710, coming up in a little bit here. Looks as though you got the Willits Point thing started.
You know, in 1961, Robert Moses started to work on this piece of land, Willits Point. He wanted to rezone it and use it for part of the World's Fair. And
I thought it must have had something to do with that.
Everybody has worked on this since 1961, so that's roughly half a century. And Chris Quinn and Melinda Katz and Hiram Montserrat and the rest of the city council, along with Bob Lieber, who has just done a spectacular job as our economic development, got the rezoning passed yesterday. What we've done is we've trying to get new locations for businesses that are there. A lot of people worried about what happens to the companies there. So we are helping them relocate. We've hired a real estate firm to do that, and they've been successful so far in a lot of things. We are retraining the workers, because if they decide not to go with their old employer, or their old employer just decides to close the doors, we've hired part of City University Community College, LaGuardia Community College, to provide training. And we've gotten the hotel workers union, Local 6, run by a guy named Peter Ward, who's very forward-thinking, and they've been very helpful, and they're training, willing to train people for jobs in their industry, even if they're not union members. So we're doing, and a whole bunch of other things, to help the people that are there now. Then, in addition to that, we have been trying to buy out the people who currently own lands, a lot of different landowners.
Complicated. Very
complicated. People say, oh, just pay them more. Well, this is the public's money. We can't just pay them more. But we've come up with a fair price, and we've bought roughly half of all of the properties already. We did need the city council to pass it, and we do have the right to use eminent domain, just because when you get down, the last person's in the right in the middle is going to try to hold you up. At least that sometimes happens. And so you have to have some out. But I think we've established in everybody's mind in Willits Point, and there's a Hunter's Point development at the same time, just not very far across the water.
Sound,
but
right.
Just if you look at a map, it's not that far away. We've established in everybody's mind the city's been fair. Lieber's just done a spectacular job, and his whole staff. And the city council, in the end, came through. And, you know, you think about the things that we've been doing, and a lot of these have never been able to get done going back 50 years. It's a real accomplishment. The city council should be very proud of what they've done.
There is no developer as of the moment.
No, but
correct?
There's a lot of interest.
Well, that was my question. Have you had a lot of
Lot of interest even in this market. Keep in mind, what's going to happen is first you've got to move everybody. Then this land is one of the most polluted sites in the city of New York, maybe in the country.
It's city pay for this?
We have $400 million. Whoever does the development in the end will really pay for most of the remediation. So the city's got a budget of $400 million, and it's a great investment because the tax revenues that you'll get from this over the next 20, 30 years really make it a good deal. Although I'm sure there's somebody that's going to write, oh, it is.
I was just going to say, what about somebody who says $400 million and we're going to raise that?
The first question I got when we were announcing that we had a deal was from a reporter. I said, well, what are the risks? And I said, wait a second, you know, the question is, what are the opportunities? There's always going to be problems as you do something, but anybody that does anything knows you go into it when you see lots of potential, and then as each problem comes up, you solve it. If you sit there and say, well, I've got to solve every problem before I start, you would never do anything. We'd be back in the Stone Age. And I quoted this a third time I'm doing it. She's going to get annoyed with me. But our first deputy mayor, Patty Harris, I've watched her when somebody comes up and says, we got this problem, this problem, this problem. And she sort of looks at him with a blank look and says, okay, now just get it done. Next. And walks off to the next thing. That's the attitude of people that do things. Will there be risk? Sure, there's always risk. But we think there's a lot of development interest. It's going to take 5 or 10 years, to 10 years probably, to build all this out. The first thing is to move everybody out and remediate the land and to raise it. Shea Stadium, the new Shea Stadium called City Field now, has the playing field is 5 feet higher than it was in the old Shea Stadium. And the reason is that in the old Shea Stadium, the water was coming up. And
water tables were
right
there.
Yeah, sure. I think they had a player a few years ago who tripped and sued him. This will, all this land and a lot of the stuff that's in this.
A player tripped in the water and sued the
team? In the outfield was running.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's story.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, you have to, the floodplain is very high there, or the land is very low.
Right.
And hopefully this land will be clean. They'll stop all this leaching of all this junk into the water. And you can see it in the water. You see the scum.
This is where they used to dump the ash from the fires of the city of New York. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, everything. And a lot of these places, the old industrial places, they just weren't environmentally conscious, is a fair statement. Or there wasn't any regulation, even if they knew they were doing something wrong. And we're paying for it now, but this is a very big deal for the city. 5,000 jobs, 18,000 permanent jobs, 18,000 construction jobs, a hotel, a first convention center outside of New York, outside of Manhattan. It'll have a new school, a new parks, and similar
kind front.
And great mass transit. And Hunters Point will be the similar kind of thing.
Let's talk about transportation. We always seem to come back to this on Fridays. The governor obviously
has the subway worked fine yesterday. Oh, I hate today, but I've got to call the MTA and tell them yesterday for the first time in, I don't know, maybe it's twice in the last 7 years, the subway's gotten stuck, and yesterday we were 10 minutes stuck coming down the Lex, but it was, in all fairness, maybe only the second or third time in 7 years. Subway works fine.
Well, if you got
to pay for it some ways or other.
If you don't complain, it'll never get fixed. So
they probably know about it, and I don't know if they're going to be happy to hear from me.
Question is, Governor...
But generally, I'm a big fan.
Governor has said, with his money problems and the Ravitch report coming out in 2 weeks or so, he obviously knows what's going on in the Ravitch report. And the Ravitch report allegedly is going to suggest tolling East River bridges. Governor says, if that's what one of their recommendations is, I will look to that as maybe a way to fix
the problem. Number one, I think we should wait to see what the Ravitch report says. Dick Ravitch used to run the MTA, smart guy, and so let's see what he says. The governor was the one that formed the committee and asked him to take a look at this, and then the legislature has to work with this. We don't have any money for capital projects in the MTA. We don't have enough money to keep the fare where it is, and we don't have enough money for everything else the state and city and federal government's trying to do. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, it's a perfect day. We don't have any problems at all. So I think, all kidding aside, I think you got to look at everything. Congestion pricing was an idea we had. It didn't get passed. I think it's a shame because we would have had a lot of federal money, $384 million, plus by now parts of it would have been in and we would have had more mass buses, express buses with technology, whereas they come up to a light, it automatically changes the light or delays the change so that they can make that and dedicated bus lanes where you have cameras so you can take pictures of people who are in those lanes, slowing it down and ticket them. Those are the kinds of things that you could get in very quickly to improve the mass transit experience, get people to drive less, and that's one of the things you want to do. Congestion is a nice problem to have because it's a problem of a lot of activity. I hope it doesn't go away in that sense, but you have to do something about it. But, tolling the bridges is just another one of the possibilities. One of the editorials today in the paper, Indian reservations go after taxing cigarettes. The most wonderful thing in the world would be if revenue goes to zero because everybody stops. But in the meantime, you can't leave. You got to start stepping back and looking at all the different things. I think the governor's got the right approach to look at some of these things, and he'll have to work with the legislature the same way I'm going to work with the city council.
Are you and your transportation commissioner and others, are you fans of trolleys? I mean, it seems that a lot of cities are going back to trolleys.
Yeah.
Europe does it.
Yeah, I mean, it's quaint, and I've always thought when you go to San Francisco, the cable car, you can just jump on and jump off. That's great. Here, of course, you'd get in court right away, be sued instantly. It'd never work here. But mass buses, the only thing you can do quickly are buses with the technology,
you don't have to build any more infrastructure.
Right, and dedicated lanes and lights that change. The number 7 extension is going ahead. That'll be a big deal. That's a fully funded and being dug on time, on budget, on schedule, whatever. So we are making some progress.
All right, we're going to go to the phones next. Got a full bank of them. You will be next here. A whole bunch of folks on the line here that they would like to speak with you. We're going to start with line number 1, Brian in Manhattan. Brian, you've got the mayor. What's your question?
Oh, hey, great. Big time listener here. I appreciate you taking the call, Mayor. Next year there's going to be on the ballot. The big news is you'll be on the ballot. But I was just wondering how you're going to vote on one of the other initiatives that's on the ballot. Whether you're going to be voting in support of all the 9/11 heroes and the victims' family members?
Well, I spent most of the parade, the Veterans Day parade, walking with Carolyn Maloney talking about it. We have to find a ways to make sure that we take care of those who were down there and have had their health damaged and find a ways to pay for it. There's just not enough money for everything, and that's what we're going to be working on very hard in the new Congress. So Carolyn Maloney's really been carrying the water, and we've spent a good hour talking about it, as a matter of fact.
All right, let's go to another. We got Brian on the line here. Brian, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hi. What's your question for the mayor?
Yes, thank you. Mayor, you supported the Wall Street bailout bill, which is costing Americans trillions in tax dollars, but at the same time, you called the James Adroga 9/11 health bill a, quote, undue tax burden. This is terribly hypocritical, sir.
Appreciate your view. They're very different things. We have to work as hard as we can to make sure we take care of those who need things. We also have to make sure we keep the economy and the system going so companies can keep staying in business and employ everybody. And you have to do a lot of things. It's not an either-or. And in terms of taking care of those that work downtown, the city has a lot of programs, and we're working on trying to get others. So appreciate your thoughts. But you have to do more than one thing.
All right, Kara from Manhattan, you've got the mayor on the line. Go, Kara. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Thank you so much for doing a great job.
Thank you. She is not my cousin in San Jose.
I would just like to say that I'm sure you'll agree that Halloween has become like New Year's Eve, and there is a severe, severe lack of taxis on Halloween. It's a missed opportunity for cabs to make extra money. Why is this?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I'm going to a taxi garage early this afternoon to announce some incentives to get taxi drivers to go towards hybrids. And as you know, we tried to have a rule that they had to. We got sued. The argument was that only federal government can set mileage standards. So the judge said we couldn't do it that way, but we're trying to find other ways to do it. And I will ask, I think part of the problem is you can say, look, on certain days there's more demand, but if the taxi drivers think the streets are going to be clogged, maybe they just don't think they can make a lot of money. They'll always have a customer, but they'll be sitting in traffic more than moving. I don't know, but I will ask. And it is annoying, and some days it's also annoying at certain times of the day you can't find a cab and you say everybody's looking. The thing is that the cab drivers have every incentive to go where the business is. It's a tough occupation. They work long hours. It used to be dangerous. Today, thank God, it is not very dangerous anymore because we really don't have very many assaults anymore on taxi drivers. But you know, these are the ultimate entrepreneurs. Whether they rent a car from somebody else or they own the car, they only make money if they can hustle and get somebody in the car.
Will your push for hybrids apply to black cars as well?
Black cars are somewhat different. They first thing is the black car industry is probably suffering dramatically because, remember, that's an industry where you...
Wall Street created,
or legal firms, and everybody's cut even, fashion. But companies where they value their employees' time very highly, whether it was really worth it or not, that's a separate decision. And they were willing to pay black cabs to do it. And today you'd think they're doing a lot of it. But black cabs are different. In some cases, the difference between, there's three things here, the yellow cabs, black cabs, and then the gypsy cabs. And the black cab owners, when they sell their cars, the gypsy cab drivers buy them. So if you could get the black cabs to change to hybrids, it would move down the list. What we did do before is we had a program where two banking firms willing to loan black cab owners money to buy a cab, and they'd pay it back quickly with the savings on gasoline. Those two firms were Lehman and Merrill, so we've got to find something else to do.
They are hamstrung.
But I will try to ask, and if I remember, we'll talk about it next week, Kara.
All right. Anthony, real fast. I don't have a lot of time. What's your question?
Hi, Mayor Bloomberg. Thank you for having me. Recently, you strongly opposed a bill that would have gave health care to 50,000 sick and dying.
All right, there we go. We have an organized group here on the phones today.
Yeah, I mean, they're just wrong. We're trying to do everything we can, and the public just can only do so much, and we're doing it.
Well, we've got an organized group here that have an agenda this morning.
And, we're putting millions and millions of dollars of city money into this. It isn't like we've walked away. The taxpayers reaching in the pocket in tough times, and we haven't cut back the amount of money we're putting in here. So just can't do everything. And I appreciate everybody's view, but, you know.
You can't do everything. Well, that's going to do it for this week, Mr. Mayor. You know, that's going to take care of us. We'll be there next week. We'll get together once again and we'll let the people ask the questions.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Have a good one. That's going to do it for us. Of course, there's a lot more coming up all day here.